The idea is that essentially you can have a number of nozzles or 3D printing nozzles, and essentially they all can extrude at the same pace. All of those nozzles can just move at the same pace and extrude that whole building at once, or that whole floor of a building at once.
So basically, you're taking the 3D printer nozzles away from the printer, putting them on drones, and having the drones fly around something constructing it. Very sci-fi.
Absolutely, yeah.
3D printing has really taken off in the last few years, with the technology advancing at a rapid rate. From printing just with plastic to using all kinds of materials. And it's being used everywhere from 3D printing aeroplane parts to human organs, even for printing your own wedding ring in gold. I'm Dr. Graham Phillips, and this is Leading Ideas, an original series from Ford Ranger, Triple M and Mix 94.5, helping you work smarter. In this episode, the uses and applications of 3D printing. With the rise in people using and talking about 3D printing, it's easy to think the technology has popped up just in the last few years. But as James Gardner from Farn Studios points out, that's not actually the case.
I mean, the interesting thing about 3D printing is that it's been around for over 30 years. So it was first emerged in the mid-80s. And, I mean, it's like the internet and computers. It takes sort of 30 years for these technologies to evolve to the mainstream.
For anyone who's still not exactly sure what 3D printing is, James Gardner explains it this way.
There's an easy way of defining 3D printing, which is essentially if you can take an object like a glass, and the way that 3D printing fundamentally works at the moment is you take that glass and then you take thousands or 100 slices through that object, and they're all flat slices. And then it's a bit like then you do a print of each one, which is a print of that slice, you know, like through a bubble jet printer. But instead of doing a 2D slice, you're actually creating a 3D slice. So you're creating a path that the 3D printer nozzle follows, and then it squirts out like toothpaste this material that builds up that layer. But instead of finishing with that layer, it just moves the head up, and then it puts down another layer according to that contour, which was the slice through the glass. And so that's kind of how all 3D printing works in one way or another, depending on, you know, what the process is.
But for James, the applications for 3D printing are so much greater than just printing a glass. He thinks the technology will help create the next
industrial revolution. And what I mean by that is that it completely transforms the way that we fabricate objects, make objects. And that just fundamentally changes everything. So essentially, with 3D printing, the geometry is free. So it's a funny kind of way of thinking about it, but essentially when you're talking about any product, it's kind of like the manufacturing time, the energy that's used, and then the materials that go into it. With 3D printing, it's the same thing, but essentially you get any shape object that you like, as long as it takes the same amount of time and same amount of materials. The 3D printer doesn't care whether it's producing 100 of the same thing or 100 different. And that fundamentally changes the way that we can think about objects. So it's a bit like the sneaker where, you know, you would go to a sneaker shop and you know, go, okay, well, I have that product. Well, it's exactly the same product that 100,000 other people are buying. You know, it's not tailored to your foot. So being able to go into the shop and go, scan my foot and I'll have this type and I'm going to tweak it here, here and here, and, you know, get that product back, it's absolutely suited to you, you know, and that goes across the board. So it's at the house where they take a scan of the site and they fundamentally understand all of the wind conditions and the sun and the angles and all that sort of stuff. And then suddenly you're able to, with, you know, AI and other advanced softwares, design this house that is perfectly suited to that site. That's how this fundamentally changes the way that we think about everything.
And the way 3D printing is affecting some industries is enormous. James worked on the Crossrail project, a new railway tunnel under London, and it relies on prefab 3D printing technology. James explains.
So the Crossrail project is a project in the UK in London. It's a new underground line that goes from pretty much one side of London to the other from the airport. It's essentially the largest project in Europe, or it was last year. And the Freefab project was being used on that project to produce moulds for these complex tunnel linings in the stations. There's these sort of three-dimensionally curved intersections in the tunnels that we would have had to fabricate using other very expensive, very slow technology.
But one of the biggest and most exciting projects James has worked on is technology that might help the planet in a different way.
So you've even 3D printed a reef, an ocean reef.
I did a project that was seed funded by University of Technology, and that was essentially trying to rethink how we produce artificial reefs. So at the moment, the way that I describe it is that artificial reefs, when they're done today, are generally a bit like building tract housing out in the suburbs, where you've got 1,000 of identical houses that are all exactly the same, and then you're expecting to get diversity in that, you know, community kind of thing. Well, the problem is with reefs and marine ecology is that you need the diversity to create robustness. And so where I started with that project was to look at natural coral reefs and to start to understand what the topologies that are required for all the different species. So like a shark needs a different sort of topology than, say, an octopus, and, you know, different fish require different opportunities, and, say, a moray eel likes the crevices. And so trying to understand what those topologies were at different scales then allowed me to sort of create a new understanding of how 3D printed reefs could be, and then coming up with this concept of the reef scaffold, where you can essentially design a scaffold, which is essentially kind of like the bones of a building, which the coral then adds to and then creates its own, you know, building in time. So it evolves and changes as the coral grows.
Underground railways, buildings, drone technology, and even rebuilding our ocean life are all part of James's big plans. But when it comes to 3D printing, it's becoming increasingly important for everyday life too. Because the thing is,
yeah, the regular punter could be producing a new toy for their kid, or a replacement part for something. There's all sorts of applications for them.
Someone else who's working in 3D printing is Matt Mignot, Managing Director at 3D Objective, a company that's worked on projects big and small, ranging from manufacturing through to engineering and medical projects, and even Formula One racing cars.
So the Haas Formula One team contacted us the day they arrived in Melbourne for the Formula One Grand Prix 2018. They wanted to do some design modifications to their vehicle and fit it to the car before they went out for testing and for doing qualifying laps on the Friday. So on the Tuesday, they contacted us. They found us on the web, knew we manufactured a whole host of 3D parts in different materials, came to us with their requirements. They sent us through a CAD file, which is the design of their components. So they emailed that through. We then assessed that part and said, yes, we can manufacture it to your specification. They gave us the go-ahead on the Wednesday. We manufactured the part and delivered it to them in time for them to fit it to the vehicle on the Friday for qualifying.
People often associate 3D printing with plastic, so it may come as a surprise that companies are printing with all kinds of materials now, from gold, silver, and other metal.
So you can manufacture in metal as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. So we can now do implants in the human body, and that's going on today, and it's happening in Melbourne and Sydney and across the rest of the world. So we've got some examples of where we've had manufactured some metal 3D printed jaw brackets that have gone into patients in Melbourne. So they're walking around town with implants, titanium implants inside their body. So in the past, they may have had a cancer or something in the jaw, and that jawbone had to be removed. So What we can do now is, because titanium is very receptive to implanting in the human body, it's one of the rare materials that we can implant. We can a surgeon can take a CT scan of the good side of somebody's jaw and create a mirror image of that CT scan. We can then convert that into data that we can send to the 3D printer and print off a mirror image of the good side of their jaw. We can then 3D print that. The surgeon implants it in the patient and you've got a symmetrical face with a solution where you didn't have to take a bone out of your leg and operate down there as well.
Of course, there are some limitations to 3D printing at the moment, like speed and cost. But I asked Matt, what would happen in the best case scenario if both of those limitations were lifted? And his answer?
3D printing would be absolutely massive. So if the machine comes out that we're dealing with at the moment, it will change the face of manufacturing in this country.
How is that going to affect the average person?
I think in the products they buy, they'll be a lot better quality products and they'll last longer with part consolidation and all that sort of thing. So 3D printing enables you to produce a superior product with less componentry. So from that perspective, everybody will benefit from 3D printing with future manufacturing. On a day-to-day basis for people like tradies who are thinking about being able to use the technology and how it would help them, you know, there could be specific tools that they need on the job that aren't readily available off the shelf. If you've got some unique things that you're doing, 3D printing offers you the ability to come in and design a one-off product and manufacture it.
So a tradie could, if they needed a particular kind of tool, could get that manufactured pretty quickly, or even spare parts, presumably.
Yeah, absolutely. Imagine someone like a major plumbing company who has lots of toilets and bathroom tapware, and they've been producing these things for 20 years. Imagine the warehouse full of spare parts that they require to house all this, just in case that particular toilet breaks down and you've got to need a replacement part. That's got to be available on the shelf. So what we do with 3D printing is we create a digital inventory of all these spare parts that are required. So no longer do you need to have that warehouse at a great expense of housing all those spare parts. We can print on demand. So, and generally one of those parts, which might be the size of your fist or something, would probably take a day to print and ship. So it's a very fast process to have a machine in-house or outsource it to be able to then file print the spare part and deliver it to the customer.
. 3D printing is a technology that may have been around for more than 30 years, but it's only now that it's becoming widely accessible. And as James Gardner points out, its time certainly seems to have come. I'm Dr. Graham Phillips, and this is Leading Ideas, an original series from Ford Ranger, Triple M, and Mix 94.5, helping you work smarter. On the next episode of Leading Ideas, the power of safety. Talk to you then.
The views expressed during this series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Ford Motor Company Australia Limited.